Welcome to All Things New, a teaching ministry of Rob Pacienza, senior pastor of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, leading people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to become culture-shaping Christians. You're invited to worship and fellowship with the Coral Ridge family whenever you're in town. For details, the website is crpc.org. That's crpc.org. And now, All Things New with Rob Pacienza.
Crushing Christians and crushing Christianity. This is a man who at one point in his life was determined to execute people for believing in Jesus Christ. And now all of a sudden, he's spending his career willing to be executed so that you and I might know about this man, Jesus Christ. Is it possible that one act could turn this world upside down? Is it possible that one act could change your life forever? I want us to look at that one act together. What is that one act, and has it changed you? Let's study Romans chapter 5 together. Well, the first thing that we see here in the passage that we read this morning, the first act we see is found right here in verse 12. It's the act that ruined everything. In verse 12, we see the act that ruined everything. In verse 12, I believe there's 26 or 27 words here, depending on your translation, but it's 26 or 27 words of devastation. It's 26 or 27 words of devastation. Just as sin came into the world through what? One man, death through sin, and through sin death spread to all men because all sinned. In verse 12, we see this avalanche of ruin and destruction. We see one act by one man brought sin, and sin, we're told, brings death, and death brings devastation and destruction to the whole world. Who did this? Who is this one man in verse 12? Paul's talking about Adam. Adam is originally the who? He's the father of the human race. And Paul talks about Adam here as not this figurative figure. He's not talking about this concept of a man. He's talking about a man that actually lived. A literal human being that actually lived in the beginning. This one man sinned, and his sin brought death, and death brought devastation and destruction to the whole human race. In theological terms, this is what we call original sin. There actually was an original sin that led to all of the other sins, that led to all of the death and all of the devastation and all of the destruction that you and I experience every day. But what was this sin? What was this one act that brought ruin into the world? It was Genesis chapter 3. It was the first declaration of independence, where Adam said, I will live my life better than with you, God. That God, I don't need you. I don't need you to bring peace and fulfillment and direction and order into my life. My life is much better lived independently from you. And ever since Genesis chapter 3, we have been living that way ever since. Turning our backs to God, saying, I can live my life better apart from God than with God. And it is this act of Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3 that brought sin and death and destruction. It is the one act through one man that brought death and destruction that we suffer the consequences for and from every day. This is the original sin, where Adam's longing for autonomy, obsession with independence, and desire to be his own boss, something we deal with and struggle with every single day, brought ruin into the world. And you and I see the effects every day. Sin affects every single one of us because of Adam's sin in the garden. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter what your age is or your status or your career. It does not matter. Death will eventually visit your door. And death and destruction is something we deal with every single day. It was the declaration of Adam in the garden. God, you are not needed. And because of this act, And as a result, brought ruin and destruction and devastation to the entire human race. But the question is, if it is true here that death and sin and devastation and destruction came through one man, and we deal with it every single day, there is one act that brought destruction and devastation to the world. The question then is, can there also be an act, could there also be one act that brought healing and restoration and redemption to the whole world as well? So if verse 12 tells us about the one act that brought ruin, what else does this passage tell us about the one act that changed everything? In verses 18 and 19, we read, in light of the one act that brought sin and death and destruction and devastation to the entire human race through Adam, in verse 18 and 19, we hear about an act that reversed everything. It says, therefore, in verse 18, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, the sin of Adam, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Verse 19, one man's disobedience, what happened? We're all made sinners. So one man's obedience, we're all made righteous. You see, it was in light of the one act that brought ruin and destruction to the world that God needed to send another head of the human race. He had to send another representative. And this is what we call substitution. That Adam, we are all represented by Adam by nature. And so all of his sin and all of his disobedience, we reap the benefits of. We reap the curse of Adam's disobedience every single day. So God, therefore, had to send another representative, that the first head of the human race, he blew it for all of us. And so in light of the one act by Adam that brought ruin and destruction into this world, Paul tells us the message of the gospel, that there was a substitute that comes in for us. And instead of Adam representing the whole human race, God in his grace sends another substitute. He sends another representative, it says in verse 18 and 19. And just as one man's disobedience made us all sinful and made us unrighteous before God, Paul tells us it's this man's righteous obedience, Jesus Christ, that through faith in him, we are declared righteous. We are declared forgiven. We are declared whole in sight of God. We are made right through this representative who is Jesus Christ in verse 18 and 19. It'll be in 1 Corinthians 15 where Paul actually refers to Jesus as the second or the last Adam. He wants us to always make this connection that you and I are either represented by the first Adam who blew it for us in the garden, or we will be represented by the second Adam or the last Adam, the new man, the new head of all creation, which is Jesus Christ. We are represented ultimately by one man's act, represented either by Adam and his disobedience, or represented by Jesus or his obedience. We get full credit for either Adam's act or Jesus's act. Now you say, that doesn't seem fair, right? How is one man's act, whether it be Adam's act or Jesus' act, how do I reap the benefits or get the credit? Well, think about it. In football, I'm sure you watched a lot of football over the weekend, or most of us did. When an offensive lineman, a left tackle, say, goes offside, does the referee say, left tackle, on the offense, you are penalized 5 yards? No. One man's disobedience, one man's transgression penalizes who? The entire team. Offsides, on the offense, the entire team gets penalized for that one act. You think about it, when you're at a football game or at any kind of game, right? You see the people in the stands, their team is winning, their team wins the game, they win the championship, and you see thousands of people in the crowd doing what? Waving that foam finger, right? We're number one, we're number one. You want to go, you didn't do anything. It looks absurd, right? You didn't take a snap, you didn't run down the field, you didn't do anything. But guess what? Paul says it's not absurd at all, because that's actually the picture of the gospel. One man's transgression leads to the sin, this devastation and destruction of all mankind. One man's obedience and faith in his obedience and faith in his righteous effort and act leads to righteousness and forgiveness for all mankind. You see, actually, all of the patterns and the examples that we see in the world actually illustrate beautifully the picture of the gospel, that we have a representative. Either it's Adam or we're found in Christ. You see, the first head of the family, Adam, he had everything. He had communion with God. He added the promise of eternal life. Adam had everything, but he chose to love God little, and he chose to love himself a lot, and he lost his righteousness, and he lost our righteousness forever. But it would be the second Adam, Jesus Christ. He lost everything, but he chose to love God a lot, and he chose to love himself a little. And through his sacrifice, we gain his righteousness by faith forever. Our ruin was secured by one act, and our hope and our salvation is secured by another, represented either by Adam or the second Adam. I knew this guy who, his name was Jared, it's a true story. And for whatever reason, Jared had a problem pronouncing his own name. Every time he would say Jared, they would always hear Gary. So he kind of started this little thing, like every time he said, my name's Jared, he would say, like the diamond guy. You know, like the diamond store, Jared's jewelry store. And so it kind of caught on. Every time he would introduce himself, he would just say, Jared, the diamond guy. Well, one anniversary, he and his wife had a chance to go away for the weekend, and they went to this really nice restaurant for their anniversary, and they show up to the restaurant, and they're told it's a two-hour wait, and they look at each other, and they go, you know what, let's just go for it. Let's eat here. It's no kids, anniversary night. And so they go up, and the head maitre d' says, it's going to be 2 hours. And Jared says, no problem. And she says, well, can I have your name? And he says, Jared, you know, like the diamond guy. And the maitre d' looks at the other maitre d'. And all of a sudden, you see the entire wait staff come out, and they lead them back, Jared and his wife, down to the back room, this private room, and they have the entire wait staff there, and they bring him out a complimentary bottle of champagne, and his wife looks at him and he says, should we tell them that you're not really Jared the diamond guy? And Jared goes, no. You know what happens every time you pray? God hears you, because those that are found in Christ, you're the Jesus guy. You're the Jesus girl. You see, the promise of the gospel is this, that in Christ, you can actually be represented by the second Adam, Jesus Christ, so that when God looks down upon you, he looks down upon you and he says, it's the Jesus guy. It's the Jesus girl. Covered in the righteousness and the blood of my son. You have a new head of the family, and his name is Jesus Christ. For those that are in Christ this morning, you're the Jesus guy. You're the Jesus girl. One act ruined everything. One act changed everything. So in closing, what did this one act result in? Paul tells us here in verses 20 and 21 that for those that live in Christ and those that are represented now by the, not the first Adam, but now represented by the second Adam, Jesus Christ, he says the result is this, the reign of grace. That you actually live under the reign of grace. And in verses 20 and 21, Paul tells us that this reign of grace is marked by two things. That the reign of grace, that God reigns through you and he reigns in you. How does the reign of grace work through you? Well, we saw it here last Saturday. Four people come to Christ. We go out into the world. We deliver turkeys. We bring the hope of Jesus Christ. Paul says it here in verse 21, that the reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That the reign of grace that is on your life now actually is a reign of grace working through you. It means that we are no longer fearful of death. That we can see death right in our face, that we can see the darkness of this world. It means we no longer fear death. It means we no longer fear persecution. It means we no longer fear risking our lives for the sake of the gospel. I saw this great picture of a bombing in Syria. Day after a bomb went off in this town in Syria, destroyed the entire town. What is happening right in the middle? A man is watering his garden. Leave that up there. That's what Christians do. Christians say this, in the face of death, in the face of destruction, it doesn't matter how dark it is outside, because Jesus Christ now has a reign of grace over my life, I now can go into the most darkest, most remote places of this world, and in my life, I can go into my neighborhoods and even maybe into my very homes, into my workplaces. I can go into this world with a boldness because I no longer fear death. We bring hope and joy and peace. Why? Because of the reign of grace. Because of the reign of grace, we no longer have to fear death. Grace abounds. Death no longer reigns. Grace abounds. We have a new head of the family, and his name is Jesus Christ. But not only does Paul say we no longer have to fear death, that the grace, the reign of grace is working through us, but he also says in verse 20, but the reign of grace is working in us. Just as law came to increase in the trespass, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. It means the grace of God trumps your sin. It means the grace of God trumps your sin and the sin committed against you. It means for all of the wrongs that you've tallied in your life that you have committed, and all of the wrongs that you've tallied in your life of wrongs that people have committed against you, Paul says because of the reign of grace, because we now have a new head of the family and someone else representing us, that the grace abounds where sin was, that the reign of grace is now working in you. It means that we now can say no to sin. And we can say no to selfishness. And we can say no to the brokenness in our life. We can say no to addiction. We can say no to who? To me. You can say no to you. Paul says now we actually have the power over guilt and shame. The guilt and shame that cripples us from what we've done. And the power over sin that resides within us even today. This is the power of the reign of grace. Where sin abounded, Paul says, grace aboundeth even more. And that is good news. It is the one act that can transform your life. It is the one act that can transform your life even today. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You can make a lot of choices in your life. Choice who you will marry. The choice what you'll do for a living, where you'll retire, where you'll go to church, where you'll live, where you'll move. But according to Paul, the most important choice that you can make is deciding who will represent you. Will you be represented by the first Adam? Or will you be represented by the second Adam? Will you be represented by the Adam who lived for himself and now represents you? And only can lead to death and destruction? Or will you be represented by the second Adam, who brings life and healing for all who believe? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that reigneth over all my sin, grace to transform your life even today. Let me close with this. Father was tucking his four-year-old girl to bed one night, and this was their conversation. His daughter's name was Hattie. And the father said, "Good night, beautiful." And Hattie said, "I'm beautiful?" "Yes, very." love this word, beautifuler than a flower. Oh yes, more beautiful than a flower. A flower is really beautiful. I know, my love. Am I beautifuler than God? No, honey. No one and no thing is as beautiful as God. But I am beautiful. You're made in God's image. So yes, you're absolutely beautiful. Good night, beautiful. Good night, Daddy. Tonight, as you lay your head down on your pillow and you close your eyes, I want you to listen for your Father, because in Jesus Christ, He thinks you are beautiful, because you have been recreated in the image of His Son. You have been made in the image of the second Adam, and He thinks you're beautiful because you have a new head of the family. One act. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, Lord, I thank You for this one act. This one act that in the face of ruin, in the face of destruction, in the face of misery and sin and death, You came down in the person of Jesus Christ. And where sin abounded, the promise for all who believe in Jesus Christ is this: grace aboundeth even more. And if there is anyone here today that doesn't know this one, that doesn't know the peace and the love and the grace of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, the one who had it all but lost it all, so that we could experience forgiveness and mercy at the foot of the cross, so that we might experience life to the full, both now and forever. And I pray that they would look to You. In the end, the only thing that matters is this: who represents us? Will it be the first Adam, who chose to live for himself and live forever separated from God? Or will it be the new Adam, Jesus Christ, the new head of the family, who was separated from His Father so that we might forever live with Him? May we choose the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Look to His obedience. Look to His good works. And be able to say with confidence this morning, I believe in Jesus, the one who lived the life I could never live, who died for my sin, and through His resurrection from the dead, offers me justification, the right to be declared holy and righteous before God forever. May I forever be represented. May for we forever be represented by the only one whose obedience and righteousness counts before God. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This has been All Things New with Rob Pacienza, Senior Pastor of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. You can learn more about this ministry dedicated to teaching the truth of God's Word at crpc.org. That's crpc.org. Join us next time on All Things New.